know. It's in the bag. I just got a long-distance telephone call.
What's in the bag?
You don't know?
Well, how would I know?
You can't guess?
No.
I have not been asked to participate in
this. This city gets the convention. The sacred stars of the Milky Way will come here for their biennial convention in May 1946.
Think and Save, brought to you by the makers of Oxidol, the soap that's famous for washing clothes so clean, they're white without bleaching. We open Oxidol's White Without Bleaching book to the story of a boarding house secret. That is what you said, isn't it, Mrs. Carson?
Yes. You see, for several years, I've kept a boarding house for army wives.
You mean secretly?
Oh, no. The girls who stayed with me wanted to know the secret of my wash day success. Why, they even asked if I'd bleached my linens to get them so white.
And you told them?
That it was no secret. I use Oxidol, and all my things come white without bleaching.
Yes, Oxidol washes even the grimiest pieces white without bleaching. Oxidol's peppy hustle bubble suds lift dirt out, even stubborn ground-in dirt. Oxidol even acts to prevent dirty grayness, caused by tiny particles that stick in clothes and turn gray or yellow when you iron them. Tablecloths, sheets, towels, all come so spankin' clean that aside from unusual stains, they're white without bleaching. Colors, too, come sparkling bright, because Oxidol is genuinely safe for all wash colors and rayons. So for a sparkling wash on your line, use Oxidol and see your clothes come white without bleaching. Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house, halfway up in the next block, we find Mrs. Victor Good, her son, Mr. Rush Good, her amiable Uncle Fletcher, and Mrs. Florence Harris from across the alley. Mrs. Harris is paying a neighborly call, and Uncle Fletcher looked in a moment ago to get warm and to break the long walk down to the interurban station. Mrs. Harris is speaking at the moment, and we hear her say,
I agree with you, Mrs. Good. It's nobody's business what a grand person like Mrs. Donahue chooses to do in her own attic. But just the same, you can't help being disturbed.
Uh-huh.
Lights going on and off in the middle of the night and so forth.
Yes.
I got the reputation for being calm as toast, but I get disturbed. Every night before I jump in bed, I go out in the hall and glance over and see if there's anything going on in Donahue's attic.
Has there been lately?
No.
Well, there's something darn good and peculiar taking place over there. Certainly no doubt about that. But Mrs. Donahue is a wonderful neighbor and is always her smiling, cheerful, happy self. And so until she says something herself about this business, I'm certainly not going to.
Uh-huh.
I can tell by you ladies' faces you're waiting to hear an expression from me on the matter.
Not at all, Uncle Fletcher. In fact, I have a guilty feeling we're talking about Mrs. Donahue behind her back when we gossip like this. Ish, let's talk about something else.
That's what I say. No, you ladies' faces are dead giveaways. You're anxious to have an expression from me on this matter, and you can't keep from darting eager, expectant glances in my direction.
You're the limit, Uncle Fletcher.
Rush, honey, as you grow older and become a man, you'll gradually discover that women are so easy and transparent you can read them like a book. Sadie and Mrs. Harris, honey, concerning the mysterious goings-on in Donahue's attic, I do not for one moment entertain any ideas that an insane murderer crouches fiendishly in the flickering darkness.
Oh, Mr. Rush, listen now.
You stop that wild talk right here and now, Uncle Fletcher.
I do not for the split 50th of a second say that some kind of hairy ape-like creature tugs at his chains and gnaws at his steel cage.
But you are saying it, and I'm telling you to stop.
Certainly, Sadie. I have no wish to frighten you, ladies.
Wouldn't that be wonderful talk to circulate around?
I have no wish.
And that's the way such trash does get circulated around.
I believe, Sadie, that I will saunter on down to the interurban station.
All right.
Man hesitates to linger in a place where he sees. He is misunderstood.
Oh, ish, misunderstood.
Man prefers to brave the bitter cold rather than remain in a group of people.
You know, it's in the bag.
Here's Gus.
Has the phone been ringing? Is Rush home?
Why, it's Mr. Gus.
Hello there. I
thought his lodge meeting lasted till much later in the evening.
He's way, way early.
Hi, Gov.
Oh, so you are on debt, Margaret. Good. I'll probably want some errands run.
Kiddo, it's in the bag. I just received... Well, good evening, Mrs. Harris. Uncle Fletcher, how are you?
Good evening, Mr. Gook.
I am just leaving.
Oh, dandy.
Yes, dandy. Oh, man that's got any feelings at all would rather cut off his right leg.
Yeah, yeah. Kiddo, it's in the bag. I just got a long-distance telephone call.
What's in the bag?
You don't know?
Well, how would I know?
You can't guess?
No.
Oh. I have not been asked to participate.
This city gets the convention. The sacred stars of the Milky Way will come here for their biennial convention in May 1946.
Well, Miss Harris, you're probably wondering what this is all about. But Mr.
Miss Harris, my lodge, the sacred stars of the Milky Way, is holding its 1946 convention right here in town.
How grand. Oh, I'm sure
Hunter
you must...
Hunter J. Sponger telephoned me long distance from Chicago down at the lodge hall less than half an hour ago. I was so happy and excited that I entertained the motion to adjourn.
Well, that's why you're home early, huh, Gov? I wonder...
Boy, what... are the lads all thrilled and enthusiastic. They gathered together in shouting, laughing little groups. Impressionable guys like Alf Mushington and Michigan Fishigan from Sishigan, Michigan, almost fainted. While big, simple, honest fellas like Sweetcorn McBlock couldn't do anything but stare and grin.
See, Miss Harris, this means a good deal.
Miss Harris, the local chapter of the lodge is the Drowsy Venus chapter, and I'm the exalted Big Dipper of that chapter.
How wonderful. I imagine...
Most of the authority in the execution of the convention will fall on my shoulders. Oh, kiddo, Hunky J. Sponger just verified that. I am to be Grand Marshal.
Well...
I started to open my mouth to make a remark a minute ago.
Rush, this will interest you. Hunky J. Sponger asked me if I wanted a horse or a motorcycle or a rickshaw to ride around in during the convention. Guess which one I chose.
Rickshaw.
Nope.
That's what I would have chosen.
Guess again.
Motorcycle.
Nope.
The horse, a nice vehicle.
I took all three.
No.
I took the rickshaw, motorcycle, and horse, all three.
Well.
Rick, honey, not to change the subject, but the other...
What, Uncle Fletcher?
Not to change the subject, but the other...
Uncle Fletcher, you couldn't change the subject with a crowbar of tempered steel.
I just thought you might be interested in something that took place down in the interurban station.
No, I'm afraid I wouldn't. Not right this minute, anyhow.
Baby Vaughn had stood up a pot of fresh hyena grease and some of the different ones skulking around.
Uncle Fletcher, you'll just have to save that anecdote for later. I'm dying to hear it and all. But right now, I'm too full of this convention.
I believe I'll slink on downtown.
Maybe you better, Uncle Fletcher. You're certainly not happy here.
Rickshaw, motorcycle, and horse rush. All three will be at my command.
Hey, am I going to brag about this up at school?
Yeah, go ahead and brag.
Oh, yes, Vic.
Well, sure, brag your head off, right?
Okay.
And your convention is next May, Mr. Gook.
2 whole weeks. 2 whole weeks of color, glamour, and excitement. Kiddo, I warned you, I think, that this will cost us money.
Oh, yes, you warned me, but let's not lose our head.
My lodge paraphernalia and equipment will have to be refurbished. I may even buy a set of new lodge paraphernalia and equipment. There'll be numerous articles to purchase. Fireworks is one. Oh, Rush, you like this.
Is the lodge going to furnish you an elephant from India to ride on?
It might if I insist.
When I worked on the railroad section gang out of Fiendish in the Amber.
Every night at 12, during the 2 weeks of the convention, I go up on the roof and shoot off a Roman candle.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of a ceremony.
Up on our roof, you shoot off a Roman candle every night?
Yeah.
The neighbors will love that.
When I work on the railroad section gang, I...
Kiddo, you're going to have to be a sport about a lot of stuff. I know you won't like the amount of money that I'm going to have to spend, and I know you won't like the 3 extra telephones that I plan to install here in the house during the convention, and you'll probably be tempted to object to my riding around in my rickshaw with various beautiful women.
What's this now?
Well, I know good and well that there'll be several beauty contests, and I'll most likely be in charge of them, just like I'm in charge of everything else. So if you see me riding down Jefferson Street in my rickshaw with a stunning girl at my side, throwing kisses to
I'm not fooling, Dave.
No, you will have to be a sport about a lot of stuff.
Vic, honey, do you like home butchered hank patties?
Yes,
you do.
They are delicious.
What are home butchered hank patties?
Why, they're hank patties that have been butchered at home.
I didn't think you knew what they were.
Oh, what are they?
Home butchered hank patties, Beck, Sage Rush, and Mrs. Harris, honey.
Is where you clutch the instrument by the throat and choke off the music to the desired bass or echo.
I do not consider that to be the slightest bit funny.
I apologize, Uncle Fletcher.
I feel so good about this lodge business, I couldn't resist a mischievous impulse.
There's a time for side-splitting jokes, and there's a time...
I know it, Uncle Fletcher. Tell me what ham-butchered hunk-putties are.
The article is not ham-butchered hunk-putties.
Bum-butchered hunk-putties?
If you listen, I'll tell you.
Please.
Home-butchered hunk-putties.
And what are they?
Home-butchered hunk-putties is where you've got an old beef upwards of 8 years old. Ernie Sprucher there in Belvedere, Illinois, owned a beef of that description. And here's the unbelievable thing he's done with it. I know in advance you'll hoot and holler and say I'm manipulating the...
Oh, and kiddo, I'm going to ask for my vacation. I'm going to try to talk the boss into letting me take my vacation on the dates that coincide with the beginning and closing of the convention. And I'm pretty sure I can swing it. Ah, won't that be great?
Yes.
By George, I just hope I won't explode before next May.
I don't see how I can stand the 6 months of anticipation.
You're liable to lose weight.
Yeah, sure. And grow gaunt and hollow-cheeked and white-lipped and trembling.
Vic, honey, a few remarks have been passed here this evening which calls for some kind of an explanation.
There's so much to look forward to.
Ordinarily, I am not a quarrelsome man.
The horse, the motorcycle, and the rickshaw.
I give way to the other fella.
The beauty contest, the parade, the hotel banquet. The dirigible balloon rides and the band music.
Beckley.
The inspection trip, the picnics, the speeches and the fireworks, the children's pageants, the street carnivals.
Beckley.
The formal dinners, the committee meetings, the floats, and the brave, bright banners fluttering in the breeze.
Oh,
it's almost too much to look forward to. A man could very easily burst.
We'll have to watch you close and careful to see that you don't.
Mrs. Harris, you're sitting there not saying a word.
Oh, there's nothing for me to say.
He's a kid.
What?
I'm not going to feel it so good, I'm going to give you a kiss.
Why, Mr. Gluck?
There.
And that, for the time being at least, concludes our evening visits with Radio's Home Folks, Vic and Sage. Every one of us regrets bringing this series to a close. The Procter & Gamble Company wants to take this opportunity to thank Paul Reimer for his wonderful script. And while we are passing out tributes, we want to reserve very large ones for Arthur Van Harvey as Vic, Bernardine Flynn as Sade, Billy Idelson as Rush, and Clarence Hartzell as the inimitable Uncle Fletcher. The makers of Oxydol appreciate your interest in the program and your loyalty to their product. And so we say goodbye to Vic and Sade. Monday night, Oxydol invites you to listen to The Jack Smith Show, featuring radio's newest singing star. It's rich entertainment for the whole family, with Earl Sheldon's orchestra and famous guest stars to bring their special talents into your home. So be sure to listen Monday night for The Jack Smith Show at this same time. But right now, listen.
Say, did you know that just one cake of Camay can mean a smoother, softer skin? Say, did you know that just one cake of Camay is the way you should begin? You ought to try it now. You'd better start today. The Camay Mild Soap Diet is the lovely woman's way for softer and more glamorous complexion. Camay.
So change from improper cleansing to regular Camay care for a lovelier complexion.
This is Rye Bilsbury inviting you to be with us Monday evening at the same time when Oxydol brings you The Jack Smith Show. Until Monday night, goodbye from Oxydol. Our country desperately needs used fat to help make soap and hundreds of other items. So to have more soap, save more used fat. You get 4 cents a pound.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.